How do you respond to people who you see begging on a street corner or by the side of the road? Maybe you don't see that sort of thing around here too often. But a few weeks ago, I saw it in a place where I didn't expect to see it, in Stanton, Virginia. I'd never seen it there before. Maybe a sign of our difficult economic times. But how do we respond when we see that? I know how I responded the other day, I'll be honest. I wondered if the people who were standing there asking for a handout in Stanton, whether they really were hard up or whether they were just lazy. I'm sure you've wondered the same thing sometimes. And that day I didn't give them anything, other times I have. But you know, our gospel story for today tells us how Jesus responded in just such a situation. And perhaps this story has something to say to us, not just about how to respond in such a situation, but more importantly, about Jesus and about how we should respond to Him. So hear the Word of God from Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 29. As Jesus and His disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed Him. And two blind men were sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" He asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." And Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed Him. Can you picture the scene? Jesus is leaving that ancient town of Jericho, that town that God used another Jesus, Joshua, to make the walls fall down. I don't know the whole history of the town. I've been there. And in Jesus' day, there was the old Jericho that lay in ruins, and there was the new Jericho. You know, the curse that was upon that town was that anybody who rebuilt Jericho would do it at the price of their firstborn. And I think that actually happened. But Jesus was departing from the new Jericho. And He was going up to Jerusalem, where He knew that He was going to be arrested, handed over to the Romans, beaten and crucified. And according to Luke, He's just spent time in the house of Zacchaeus, that wee little man who climbed up in the tree so that he could see Jesus passing by. And now Jesus is intent on getting to His goal. A large crowd is following Him, and suddenly He's interrupted in His course once again. These two blind men are sitting by the roadside. Why are they there? We know. We've seen it. They're sitting there to beg. Perhaps due to their blindness, it's the only way they can make a living. Mark tells us that one of them is named Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus. We don't know the name of the other one. Maybe nobody knew his name. Have you ever known the name of a beggar that you helped or didn't help? Have you ever wondered what the story was behind any beggar you saw beside the road or standing on a street corner? Have you ever wondered how they got there? If maybe there was a time when they were more fortunate? People in Jericho knew this one blind beggar was the son of Timaeus. But who was Timaeus? Had he maybe died, leaving behind a blind son for whom nobody else cared? What was his story? So often we don't take the time to stop and find out what people's stories are. At any rate, these two blind men, they suddenly realize something unusual is happening in their relatively quiet town. A large crowd's moving by. How would blind people know that? Well, by their hearing, by the smell and the taste of the dust coming up from the road. They're curious and they ask somebody in the crowd. They grab them by the sleeve and say, "What's going on? Why the crowd?" And the answer swiftly comes, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." What do these two men think? What do they feel when they hear this news? Somehow they're aware of the fact that some people say this Jesus is the Messiah. That's what the title Son of David implies. Perhaps they've heard of Jesus' power to heal people. Maybe they just figure, well, if an important guy is passing by, why not go right to the top and ask him for a handout? And so they cry out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. How would you respond to such an outcry if you were in the crowd that day? Maybe you'd respond the same way this crowd did. Perhaps you'd be embarrassed that this great teacher, this would-be Messiah, was coming through town and now he's seeing the not-so-pretty side of it. Perhaps you'd be tempted to do just what you did with your laundry that was hanging out that morning when you heard Jesus was coming through. You quick took it off the line, you balled it up and threw it in the house where nobody'd see it, right? That's what you want to do with these blind beggars. You just want to hide them from Jesus' sight. You want to shush them up. So that's what you do. You want to silence them so Jesus won't see. And granted, some people in the crowd, they get a little sharper than you would like. But the important thing is just to shut them up. But it doesn't work. These two beggars, blind Bartimaeus and his friend, they are, as William Barclay put it, undiscourageable. I don't think that's a real word, but it's an appropriate one for these two blind beggars. They can't be silenced. Rather than being intimidated by the crowd, they shout all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. You got embarrassed just when I did that, didn't you? And that's how the crowd responded. We don't often treat God that way, do we? We don't often get very insistent with Him in our prayers. When's the last time you screamed at God in prayer? That's how intent these two blind beggars are at trying to get an answer. Now, if you were Jesus, how would you respond to these two blind men shouting at the top of their voices? You're intent on getting to Jerusalem. You've already spent more time than you planned in Jericho. Hard for us to imagine ourselves as Jesus, isn't it? Thankfully, we know what Jesus did. He stopped. That's the one thing we so often are unwilling to do, isn't it? Just to stop. When I saw those beggars and stand, that was the last thing I wanted to do. The last thing I wanted to do was stop and interrupt my schedule for that day. There's all sorts of things that go around in our minds that keep us from stopping. But Jesus stopped. He stopped what He was doing. He stopped in His journey to Jerusalem. He stopped on His way to the cross. He stopped all the things He was thinking about and planning on doing. He stopped talking to His disciples, the people He was most comfortable with. He stopped. And what did He do? He called them. He called these two blind men. Now, presumably, other people had stopped before. I've never been a beggar like this. I never stood on a street corner with a tin cup asking for money. But I imagine if you go one place in a town and the people don't give you anything, you'd pick another spot, right? So these blind beggars must have had a handout at this spot before. It must have served them well in the past. But had anybody ever done anything more for them than drop a coin in their basket? Had anybody ever called out to them? I doubt it. Jesus stopped. Jesus called them. And Mark tells us at this point, the crowd said, cheer up, on your feet, He's calling you. Suddenly they change tune. At first they're embarrassed by these blind beggars that they refuse to care for. But now that Jesus can't help but notice them, they change what they're saying. They don't want to sound like they're too harsh toward these two men. So they act like they're on Jesus' side. Of course these beggars should be helped. Of course Jesus should be concerned about them. Even though we've never been. Mark also tells us that Bartimaeus jumped to his feet once Jesus called him. Isn't that what you would do? Isn't that what I would do? You bet, if we were there 2,000 years ago. But how do we respond to Jesus now? When He calls us now? Often we're too busy with our own plans, our own agendas, to even hear His call. We're afraid of what Jesus will demand of us. We feel Him tugging at our sleeve, but we try to ignore it because we're afraid that He wants something of us. In fact, we're scared that He'll demand too much of us. But the reality is, Jesus wants to give us something. He doesn't want to rebuke us or shame us or lay a guilt trip on us or even force us into His service. No, He wants to give us something. And what's the first thing that Jesus gives to these two blind beggars? It's the most valuable thing He could give. It's a question. What do you want me to do for you? If Jesus was standing here today and asked you that question, what would you say? What do you most want Jesus to do for you? In your heart of hearts, if you could say anything to Jesus, knowing He would hear you, and knowing that nobody else would, knowing that He wouldn't condemn you, but respond in His infinite love, what would you ask of Him? Something about the way Jesus asked this question, maybe it was the look of love in His eyes, something made these two beggars give up their normal way of operating. They forgot all about begging and they asked Jesus for what they wanted most. The thing that begging money was only a substitute for. They asked to be able to see again. Now this may sound like it's so obvious. Of course that's what two blind beggars would ask Jesus for. But how hard it is for us sometimes to ask Jesus for the thing that we need the most. We're afraid He won't do it. And then we'll be left in disappointment, even more depressed than before. But this was an eternal moment in time. These two blind beggars were standing face to face with ultimate reality. And it was time to lay their cards on the table. Lord, open our eyes. And what did Jesus do? Think first of what He didn't do. He didn't rebuke the crowd for their lack of demonstrable love for these two blind beggars, though He had every right to do so. He didn't take up a collection to build a hospital for the blind, though that might have been a nice thing to do. He didn't preach a sermon. According to Matthew, He didn't even say a word. He didn't walk away. He didn't say, "I'm out of miracles today." The first thing Jesus did was to feel. As we would put it today, He got in touch with His feelings. Actually, I think Jesus didn't have to get in touch with His feelings. He was never out of touch with them. Matthew literally says, having been filled with compassion, having been moved at gut level. You see, our triune God has always had compassion for us. Paul tells us He chose us in love before the foundation of the world. There was never a time when He didn't love you. Even before you existed, even before the world existed, He was and is love. And that compassion was expressed in the incarnation, God taking on human flesh. And that compassion was expressed in every moment and every movement of Jesus' life. And Jesus now simply allows that compassion to keep on flowing all the way to the cross. Jesus had compassion on them and He touched their eyes. He could have done it with a word, but He reached out and touched these men though no one else was willing to lift a fingernail to help. And Jesus helps them with one simple touch. Power flows forth from Him. I ask you, what cannot be done at the touch of Jesus? What cannot be accomplished? What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want in your heart of hearts, in the deepest recesses of your soul? You know, He's here today, ready and as able as ever to answer our requests. All we have to do is ask and we will receive immediately. Notice that? Immediately they received their sight and followed Him. Can you imagine being blind and then having your eyes open and the first thing you see is Jesus? What would be your response? I think your response, I think mine, would be the same as these two formerly blind beggars. It would be the response of these men whose seeing eyes are suddenly dazzled by the light. We too would follow Jesus. And what does following Him mean? What does it involve? I think it means a whole lot more than just joining the crowd and the passing parade as they make their way to Jerusalem. I'll bet these two formerly blind men, they followed Jesus for the rest of their lives. Following Jesus means going where He goes. Even to the cross. Even to the death of all of our ambitions. means dying to self every day. It means giving up a way of life that doesn't work. Giving up our brokenness. Giving up begging. And living instead out of His abundance. Following Jesus means asking Him to guide our feet, to guide our lips, to guide our hands, guide our thoughts, guide our hearts from the beginning of the day to the end until our very last breath and beyond. Following Jesus means allowing His compassion to flow through us. The next time we see a blind beggar by the roadside, instead of turning and walking away. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is so practical and relevant 2,000 years after it was put on paper. 2,000 years after Jesus encountered these two blind men by the roadside. We're still having the same problems today, Lord. You said we would always have the poor with us. Lord, there are still opportunities for us to show Your compassion to others. And yet so often, Lord, we turn and walk away. Lord, forgive us. Lord, change us. Lord, in this moment, we need an experience of Your grace. We need to respond to Your question, what do You want me to do for You? Lord, help us to answer out of the deepest honesty of our hearts, so that we might experience Your grace, so that we might have something to pass on to others the next time we see someone in need. For we ask it in Your name and for Your sake. Amen.